Hey everybody, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. All right, so on today's show, we're going to be talking about a topic not a lot of people discuss, and that's cybersecurity. So Chase Norland, CEO of Transmosis and creator of CyberOps, will be talking to us today about your cybersecurity. I think it's going to be incredibly informative, and I think this is something most of us should be talking more about. A lot of the times when we're talking about Amazon, we're not really thinking about cybersecurity, but when you have that e-com platform, let's say it's WordPress or Shopify, what can you do to protect yourself? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Kelsey, where are you?
Hello, hello.
Hey, Kels.
How are you?
You look different somehow. I'm not sure.
I know, right? That's a bit of a different background here. if you took the camera and did a little panorama right now, there'd be about four different lamps circled around me because they don't have the best lighting in here, but... Yeah, it's coming along.
Good. All right, we see we have some. Oh, we got a Facebook user who we don't know, but Merrow, Mark, Yarrow.
All right, yeah, it's going to be a great episode. If you're new to the show, we have a Facebook group called Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA, and E-commerce Collective. I'll put the link in the comment section, but that's where you can join the community, ask questions. Meet some of the people on the chat, like Marina and Fatiha. They're all part of the group. Hello, welcome Manny, and another Facebook user. And for the Facebook users, we have the StreamYard link that I'm going to send you guys in the chat. Press on that link one time, and it fixes everything. But
then we get to see who you are. Yeah, if you want to be seen.
Yeah, coffees and bagels.
Very hey, nice Dr. Kaz.
And yeah, so if you ever miss an episode, or if you want to see a highlight or the full episode, we can go over to our YouTube channel. It's called Norman Farrar. That's where you'll find everything. We put all the episodes there, all the highlights there. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Oh, we have our Clubhouse today too.
Yes. So something new. It went really well last week. So we're going to do it again today. We're going to try to bring some of our guests back from last week. And just have a conversation. So, hey, Simon, how's it going?
Yeah, so I'll be putting that link in the comment section as well.
All right. Yeah. Okay. And on that note, if you have any questions, just throw them over to the comment section. We'll get right to you. And welcome, Rad, as well. Now, sit back, relax, grab that cup of coffee, and enjoy the podcast. Hey, Chase.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. So one thing, we do have a bit of an issue with Chase's video. So this will, unfortunately, you'll just have to look at my mug. But on Apple, it's a podcast. You'll get, you don't have to look at me. It's just an audio stream anyways. But anyways, Chase, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Norm. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Why don't you just start off by telling people about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, great. Yeah, I'm Chase Norland. I'm the CEO of Transmosis CyberOps. I'm a technology entrepreneur from Silicon Valley, so I have a long history of building digital companies. And last one, we built a pretty good-sized digital advertising business in San Francisco. And then I actually served as the basis for the parent company, which is Transmosis, which is what I run, and we are the creator of CyberOps. But the history of it is that Transmosis is now a leader in the remote training and deployment of cybersecurity analysts. So we're a leading, what we call a workforce developer. And it actually grew out of the last business where we trained people on the job, and we realized that there's just a whole group of people that can make the transition into these fast-growing technology careers that were outside the typical profile you would see in Silicon Valley. And it was really inspiring to me, and mm-hmm. It became the basis for Transmosis. So the parent company, Transmosis, that I run, has been around about 6 years. Like I said, started in the Bay Area, received over about $50 million in state and federal funding across the country to, like I said, to develop this now, what is now a highly scalable cybersecurity analyst training model. So we come at the world of cybersecurity from the business of training expert security analysts, from people who are in, I'll call it non-traditional careers or were not in the cybersecurity industry. So that's been just an amazing thing to watch these people's lives transform through this unique training model that we have, which is focused around real world experience. And that became, just to finish up, that became the basis and the inspiration behind CyberOps, which we just launched a couple quarters ago. It took us a couple years to build. And the core of that service, and we'll talk a little bit about it as it relates to small businesses, is think of us almost as the ADT for cybersecurity for small enterprises or for individual, you know, more called semi-professionals, if you will, but really focused around the small business owner and providing them with this 24/7 live security protection that you typically really only see at the, call it the Fortune 5000 level.
Okay, so I've, for years, and I'm talking over a long period of time dealing in with the internet, I've been hit, hacked, I mean, you name it, so many million, not million, yeah. so many times. I had to get involved with cybersecurity years ago. And even when I think, and especially I know this with WordPress, I think, oh, I'll put this plugin in and it's going to work. I've been hacked. I've switched names. I've, you know, you name it, pointed folders over. Yeah. You can still get hacked. So yeah. One of the things I want to do, there's a lot of people listening right now. Look, a lot of us think of cybersecurity like maybe accounting or insurance, stuff you got to know. If you do have people or friends that are either selling on Amazon or selling on e-com, we're going to be talking how to protect yourself today. So go and maybe tag them or see if you can get them to come over and listen. A lot of people are not talking about cybersecurity. It, in my eyes, is uber important. So anyways, let's just talk about first thing is why should an Amazon seller, e-com seller care about cybersecurity?
Yeah. Well, we should actually distinguish first what you just brought up, Ashley. You were talking about your experience of having your website hacked, right? And having an attacks there or website issues related to WordPress, et cetera. That is obviously a type of cybersecurity breach, but that is really nowhere near the threat that we're solving for here. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, that's attacking a website. The biggest issue that Amazon sellers, Shopify partners, et cetera, have is they are part of this group of small business owners, right? Again, call that under 100 employees. They're now the number one target attack for cyber criminals today. And the majority of those attacks are happening what we call the endpoint being that user's desktop, laptop, or server, but typically a desktop or a laptop. And those threats are significantly exacerbated today because of this whole work from home environment. So it's really important to distinguish because what's happened is these small business owners, and again, whether you're one person or 100 or 200, they're now the number one target for attack from these cyber criminals for a bunch of different reasons, but really primarily because over the last, call it 5 years, the bigger companies or the medium to larger firms obviously have the budgets for very expensive cybersecurity protection solutions, right? 24/7 security ops teams, you know, internal people and teams helping protect them. So essentially what's happened is the organized criminal activity has moved to attack and go after the small guy. And what's also happened there is that we've gone from this world, call it 5 or 10 years ago, that we're all familiar with, of this idea of this lone hacker, right, in the basement going after you. That is entirely different today. This is organized criminal activity from all across the world, including inside the U.S. In some cases, they're literally going into offices and they're just going down the line, going after every small business owner that they can find. And so it's important to understand that you really need to be aware of the potential threats, and it is coming for you. You don't want to be sounding too doomsday here, but it is a statistical inevitability, like you were saying, that you're going to get attacked. But there's a bunch of things you can now start thinking about and do to mitigate that.
Okay. So, I mean, that's good to know. I'm curious. I was watching a show and it was one of these, you know, tape shows. So or recorded shows. That's how old I am. So anyways, it was a recorded show I was watching last night. All of a sudden, I saw the 60-minute advertisement come up saying tick, 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 tick. There's a cybersecurity threat that the biggest cybersecurity threat that's going to affect your life you've never heard of or something, and they were covering it. What was that? Do you know what's going on?
Which one was this related to now?
This was 60 Minutes last night. They came on and they said that there's this huge cybersecurity leak that's happened. And they can't stop it and nobody knows about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a variety of those. I mean, you've heard of Stuxnet as well. And, you know, we've heard of the SolarWinds attack recently. I mean, basically, I mean, I guess the big picture answer to that is there is always an ever-increasing, it never stops. And the level of sophistication in terms of the tools that these cyber criminals can use is now through the roof. I mean, that's what this whole SolarWinds attack was about. They were able to secure some what we call some of the proactive threat hunting tools that good guys use, the good cybersecurity firms use to protect businesses, have now been stolen by cyber criminals. Just gives you, it just really shows you the rapid pace of innovation on the cyber criminal side. And the level of sophistication there, like I said, is through the roof. And that's why this is so incredibly important and dangerous. And a lot of small businesses, they see the part of the problem is the marketing problem or educational problem, in that, you know, it's very abstract, right? The idea of being hacked or attacked, it's kind of hard to relate to. And so that's why we see and believe that a lot of these small business owners drag their feet until they get hacked. And that's not what you want to have happen. So, and this is why this show is so great. You know, a lot of this is about educating these small business owners that the significant liabilities that they face. So this is more than an abstract concept of, oh, okay, well, I might get hacked. And if I do, I probably won't. And if I do, it'll only be cost me $5,000 or $10,000. I'll move on. This is way beyond that. The level of first and what we call first and third party liability that small business owners carry, in particular, because many of them are, especially your audience, are transacting online with partners, et cetera, is absolutely through the roof. It means that, you know, in the old days, yeah, I might suffer some reputational damage, you know, I'll recover. Now it's, you might get ransomed for $100,000. They're now using extortion. So they're going to extort you. So it's not just a ransom demand, you get your data back, they're actually going to extort you.
That's so, can you dig into that a little bit more? I'll get in a second.
And then on that was kind of the old days, is this kind of going after you, you know, and reacting to that. And just to address your quick question on extortion, they're going to threaten you to release data, essentially. So it's no longer about, okay, here's a ransom, you know, pay us $100,000, we're going to get you your data back. It's we're going to actually release this throughout the internet. We're going to expose you, and that's going to put you out of business because the reputational damage is so large. But now it's gone way beyond that. So think of that right there. That's called first party. That's the direct damage to you, the small business owner. Now think of the third party liability. This is really kind of quite new, and it's very relevant to your audience because they're transacting with partners online. And so what that means is all your partners are now potentially liable, and they will sue you if you are breached. And this is one of the reasons why in 2019, 60% of all small businesses that were attacked went out of business 6 months later, because you're getting sued all over the place, or big partners are going to drop you. So Amazon, Shopify, they're just going to drop you. And in some cases, if somehow the attack gets through to them, which is what these hackers are now trying to do, or these cyber criminals are trying to do, you may be actually not just dropped by them, you may be sued by them really bad. And then on top of it, again, this is all the third party liability. That's all very new. This is what small business owners are not aware of. And then the state and regulatory fines associated with that. So for example, if you've heard of the New York Shield Act or the CCPA Privacy Act in the state of California, if you're transacting online and you're breached and one of your customers resides in that state and that data is exposed through a breach. So again, not only are you liable for the first party damages I just described, all the third party damages and lawsuits I just described, but the state of New York and California, and now soon many other states, are going to fine you out of existence. And the fines are crazy. We're talking 6- and 7-figure fines. So you get a sense here what this is happening. This is no longer this abstract idea that, you know, I'm going to get hacked or it's not that big a deal. It's now turned into a whole new animal, which is these small business owners. It doesn't matter if you're 2 people or 100, 200 people. The liability that you face today is massive and it's only increasing.
You know, this is running parallel with something. We talked about this on a much earlier podcast, small businesses not complying with ADA. Yeah. And, you know, just simple solutions that who's the easiest target? Small businesses. Yeah. And the amount of lawsuits that were generated for ADA, the ADA Act, I mean, you just have to find a company, spend a few bucks, and you're covered.
Yeah.
But people aren't doing it. Well, a lot of people don't understand it until they watch the news one day and find out that like 7,100 lawsuits were just launched. And, you know, it was incredible. It was shocking to me. And immediately after, it was Wilford Lightheart that was on. And he was telling me about it the night before. And I just went, all right, well, we'll get you onto the podcast. It was like one of these special podcasts that we ran on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I just got all of our sites up with ADA compliance. Well, yesterday, for example, I got a notice from PCI about, you know, just merchant compliance. There's some huge fines there. So I had to do this whole bloody PCI merchant compliant test for a merchant accounts. But yeah. Same thing here. These are things that small businesses, it doesn't cost a lot to insure, you know, basically I'm going to say insure, but protect your website. But again, let's go through some of the small misconceptions or things that small businesses are doing wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good question. There's a lot of them. So one of the main ones is that, well, again, there's this false sense of security, right? Mm-hmm. Which is you think you're safe, you think you're protected. You think this is like the most common misconception. You think that an antivirus, a consumer antivirus, is enough to protect you, which is completely ludicrous. It's beyond ludicrous. Or you think that a Windows firewall comes with your computer is enough to protect you. It couldn't be further from the truth. So, you know, consumer grade antivirus is great. Nothing wrong. Those are good companies, et cetera. But when you're a small business owner and you're doing all the activities that we're talking about here, that liability is through the roof. This is no longer you just, you know, a personal account, you know, cruising around on Facebook. This is beyond that. So what it means is that antivirus software firewalls are nowhere near enough to protect you. It's a common misconception. And you think you pay your whatever $200 a year for your antivirus, you're going to be good to go. Well, it's not the case. In fact, you know, antivirus is missing a majority of these endpoint attacks. So, for example, ransomware, like 70% plus of these ransomware attacks are coming through the endpoint that the antivirus cannot see. And the same with firewalls. We talk a lot about this in our marketing. And so really the best way to think about it is, you know, first of all, technology is not going to protect you 100% anyway, let alone a consumer grade technology like that. And so the ultimate, and this is why you see Fortune 5000 companies doing this, is it's really what you want. And again, this does require, you know, being very security conscious and being able to commit a little bit more budget than you're used to. It's the combination of artificial intelligence. And we can talk a little bit about that because there's some amazing technology out there that, in fact, we're deploying, married to human intelligence. And that's why the best protected companies in the world, you always hear about, they have a security operations team, you know, or a security operations center. And so that's a new concept for small businesses. It happens to be, of course, what we're out helping small business owners with. We've been able to come up with a model that makes that cost effective. We can talk about that later, but that's where you want to be. You need to be having kind of two layers of defense as it relates to not just, you know, to watching for potential attacks. And some of these attacks are getting really insidious, Norm, meaning that, you know, they'll lay dormant in your computer for 2 or 3 months. That's something that a lot of software is not going to detect. This is where the human component becomes so incredibly important. But that's one of the biggest, basically, misconceptions that's out there. And let's see, sorry, Norm, sorry, go ahead there. I'm going to end that thought there.
No. Again, you know, just keeping along those lines, like, is there anything that the small, medium-sized company can do outside of just giving you a call and saying, hey, let's get started. Is there anything that they can do to help protect themselves right now?
I'll answer that. And another, I think, important misconception, I think, potentially among your audience is that, you know, these platforms are going to protect you.
Right.
So think of Amazon, Spotify. I mean, they're not there. I mean, they're there to transact business and to protect themselves. And they're not in the business of providing cybersecurity protection and liability coverage to their, you know, their customers. And in fact, if anything, it's inverse, right? It's if you're breached and that somehow affects their platform. Now, again, it's could be difficult, but in any other e-commerce platform, but should that happen, again, not only are you dropped, you're probably sued out of existence. So there's a misconception that because you're operating on Amazon or in that environment, that you're safe. You're not. Again, 70% plus of these major breaches, ransomware attacks, extortion events, et cetera, they're occurring at the endpoint. That means your computer. And your computer is even more vulnerable today because it's likely sitting at home on your personal Wi-Fi network. And you probably got a bunch of IoT devices connected to it, right? Probably got all these cool different gadgets in the house. Those, again, many of those made in China, not that we're judging per se, but there's a lot of security risks associated with that. So now you can kind of see, right? There's so many entry points to attacking you at your computer, especially in a work from home environment that, again, you're basically, I mean, I don't want to sound doomsday, but you're the furthest thing from safe today. So to answer your question, and not, we don't want to be too self-promotional here, I'll speak more of the industry at large. Historically, small businesses haven't had access to this type, like we talked about in the beginning, they haven't had access to these types of commercial grade or, you know, Fortune 5000 grade protection systems, primarily because they've just been too expensive. And the entire industry, as you probably know, is focused around medium to larger size businesses, or, you know, SMBs. But, you know, an SMB, you know, an enterprise cybersecurity company is a, you know, 500,000 person company. That's not, in our estimation, that's not a small business. So essentially what's been lacking up until fairly recently is the ability to provide essentially an enterprise class solution in a really cost-effective format. It is something that we're doing. I'm happy to speak to that. But and also, it's really never been delivered in a flexible monthly subscription as well. This is something that we've also pioneered at CyberOps. We think about this, bringing this enterprise cybersecurity almost like an Amazon Prime subscription.
Nope. It looks like we lost. Oh, you're back.
I'm sorry. You guys catch me okay?
Yep.
Sorry. There was another call there. That's probably what you guys. Oh,
no problem.
Okay. Yeah. So, and that's, again, kind of in a nutshell, what we've done. We just a brief blurb here. That's exactly what we set out to solve with CyberOps, is how do you bring this Fortune 5000 class security platform with 24/7 live analysts, just like you would, almost like ADT for cybersecurity, rolled up into a flexible Amazon-like Prime monthly subscription. That's exactly what we solved for. There are other startups kind of getting into this world. Like I said, small businesses have been overlooked here, but they're incredibly vulnerable today, as you can imagine, especially when they're struggling with COVID. And then the other key piece, and you've talked about this, Norm, you know, a little bit ago, which is, this is more than just about cybersecurity protection. So if you think about the small business owner, very different than an SMB owner, right? You run a 500 person company versus a 5 or 10 person company. I mean, those are night and day, right? So in a 500 to 1,000 person SMB, quote unquote, you know, they're going to have a cybersecurity consultant, or they may be working with other partners already. So they're going to understand that space a little better. A small business owner doesn't understand that at all. They just want to be safe and continue upon their way and doing their business. And so going to a small business owner and saying, hey, we've got better protection for you than these other guys, honestly, it falls on deaf ears. Now, we do have some of the most cutting edge artificial intelligence technology that is married to a 24/7 security operations center. And that is extremely powerful. But again, even that falls on somewhat deaf ears to the small business owner. So where I'm going with this is that one thing we've pioneered, and I think it's a good segue into the next potential topic, is, well, what does really matter to the small business owner? Well, I'm a small business owner, and I've been one before, and I can tell you someone coming to pitch me about better tech to protect me is not going to mean much. But pitching me and telling me that if something does get through, which I assume eventually will, how am I protected then? And so this is why cyber liability insurance is something that we launched. We're one of the first companies to offer this fully integrated cyber liability insurance along with our technology with one of the world's largest commercial insurance companies. So what that means is something does get through, I know I'm protected, or I'm going to have the funds to pay a lawyer or to potentially pay off the ransom if I have to, or to restore my data, all the business downtime, et cetera. That's what really matters. And so it's protecting for both. And that's why it's kind of a race to the bottom among a lot of cybersecurity software vendors who are out pitching this. I mean, it works, like I said, for medium to larger companies, but for the little guy, we believe what they really need is the most comprehensive way, not just to protect themselves, but to recover if something does happen.
Right. Yep. First, I've never heard of the insurance policy going along with it, so that's kind of cool. One of the things I wanted to touch on, I just saw in a comment from Kels, there is a giveaway today. So we didn't talk about it at the beginning of the show. Can you talk a little bit about the giveaway that you're offering?
Yeah, sure. So that's actually a good segue, because that's how we sell our CyberOps service. You guys can, all the listeners can check it out at transmosis.com, and you'll see the link to CyberOps in there. It's sold on a monthly subscription basis. So again, it's kind of sold like you would McAfee, actually. Some of the consumer antivirus. That was the idea behind it, which is get it into a very easy to manage subscription model. And so we are giving away two subscriptions, which is about 50. Our retail value is $50 a month for those. So you can see it's a very valuable service that typically is addressing small business owners who are under 100 employees. We're going to be giving away a year subscription for that.
Fantastic.
Yep, for two business owners.
Fantastic. So, and Kels, how do we enter for that one?
Yeah. So to enter, just go to hashtag We Love Chase in the comment section. you can post it across all social media, or if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, put them in the comments. I'll be checking everywhere. And you'll be entered into a wheel at the end of the episode today.
Okay, and we do have a hard cutoff time at 12:50 today.
Yeah,
that's when we'll start.
Okay,
what's cool about that prize actually is that as soon as you're activated, you have a 24/7 live team, United States based. Call it watching your ass 24/7. So it's going to be a significant upgrade to any consumer antivirus that you might have.
All right. So once again, if you'd like to take advantage of this giveaway, it's a pretty expensive giveaway, a full year subscription to the cybersecurity that we're talking about today. Yeah. Just put We Love Chase, and two lucky people are going to win that today. Also, just wanted to let you know, if you like what you're hearing, just smash that like button, subscribe to our channel. We'd be grateful to you. Also, questions. There's got to be a ton of questions about cybersecurity. So please put them into the comment box, and we'll get to them ASAP. I got a question about links. So, and it's a kind of a multi-part question. I get links coming in. I get comments coming in on blogs. I get people responding to a WordPress message that, you might have a contact us on this form. They send us over, hey, whatever it would be, and they have a link in there. When people are reaching out on your website, that link, could that cause a problem?
Yeah, big time. So that's actually one of the more common ways that you're going to see some of these ransomware attacks originate. Someone clicking on a bogus link, being on a, might be at a fictitious website that looks like a real website. Mm-hmm. Something's downloaded to their computer, or might be triggered through an email. But essentially what's happening is they're looking to attack the endpoint. Again, like we keep talking about, right? The end user's desktop or laptop. And that's one of the more common ways that's triggered. And that happens all the time. I mean, and it's only increasing. So, and people are just not used to, some of the fakes are so strong, it's hard to distinguish that you're not really on the website you thought that you were on, for example.
Right.
So what that does is it triggers a cascade of events, because as soon as that attack hits the endpoint, whether it's a ransom, malware, et cetera, basically all hell breaks loose. And so the whole idea is, well, of course, you want to prevent that, but you can't prevent, in a lot of cases, employees clicking on the wrong email, right, or clicking on the bogus website link. And so that's why, again, this endpoint protection is so incredibly important. So think of antivirus as like the very baby steps of protecting the endpoint, like the most entry-level way you could possibly do that. The next level up is, we call it, endpoint detection and response. This is what, like you said, Fortune 5000 companies are typically using. The next level above that is essentially the same thing, endpoint detection and response, but with artificial intelligence, because AI is getting incredibly powerful as it relates to detecting and stopping these threats. But that's what happens. It triggers that cascade event. And then if you're on a network or you're connected to other employees, et cetera, it can make its way. Now you've got a network problem, and that can create a whole other layer of issues. But all it takes is one computer to be compromised, for your data to be stolen, extorted, et cetera. So that's why it's so incredibly important to have that endpoint protection backup. Because again, it's becoming easier and easier. These cyber criminals are just getting better and better at doing these fake websites and attacking your endpoint.
So when you're using a subscription model like yours, are you covering the subscription? Is it for the website, or does each individual person that has an email account also have to sign up for a subscription?
Yeah, so we're not protecting websites. And, you know, website protection has been around a long time. There's a lot of great companies doing that. And obviously, if you're transacting through your website, et cetera, that's something you're going to want to do. You know, WordPress, we've talked about some issues there, but, you know, WordPress is, you know, over time getting better and better at, you know, protecting their customers. So that's not what this is about.
Okay.
This is about, how do you protect your computer? That's what it's about. They're going after your computer. That's where all the sensitive information is. That's where your connections to others are. All your accounts online or in the cloud are attached to it. That's why it's 70% plus of these ransom type attacks and malware type attacks. So that's what matters the most, is being able to watch that computer 24/7. Worse in a work from home environment, where your computer is now connected to all kinds of other insecure stuff. You know, normally you'd be in an office environment, right? You'd have a company issued laptop, and you'd be in this, you know, way more secure office environment. So now, not only are they targeting you anyway, but it's even, you're even more vulnerable in this, in a home environment.
Right. Okay, I get it. I thought it also covered the corporate website. So that's a good point.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is even, okay, now it's 100% clear. All right, so here's another question then. Mm-hmm. I get links or messages coming through from Facebook. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wilfred, the same guy that was talking to me about ADA, was saying, man, so many people's computers get compromised through Facebook, just messages like from friends. If you friend a person that, you know, might be a hacker, all of a sudden that could affect your Facebook account, but it could also affect your computer. Have you heard about anything like that?
Well, yeah, again, same thing, right?
It's the same thing.
Any website, right? Anything you click on, any email that you get, everybody, well, not everybody, 70% plus, they're going after your computer. That's where you're the most vulnerable, and especially in a home environment. So Facebook is just one example, obviously, of that, right? It could be any type of website.
Okay, so how does...
Yeah.
All right, so let's go back to your product, your app. Mm-hmm. Will that protect you against... like an assault coming from Facebook? It's protecting your computer.
Yes.
It will protect you. So
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, so it protects you basically on anything coming into your computer.
Yeah, and that's the entire point is, yes, you want to protect your website, but you know, a lot of these partners or people are using third-party tools like WordPress or Shopify, you know, et cetera. And those platforms are going to get more and more secure over time, and they are, which mm-hmm. is great. But again, that's not where the ransom attacks or the malware or the extortion, they're going after you. For example, a lot of this started with going after just hacking your computer, looking at your photos. Maybe you got some weird photos on there. A lot of people do. Or maybe you go to some weird websites. All that is exposed now. I mean, think about how dangerous that is, whether you're one person or 100. You know, let alone all the credit card information, the personal information, your small business information. And so that's why it's the primary target. And that's why you need to make those, whether it's us or somebody else, you need to make investments and some more increased investment in endpoint security. And I believe in cyber liability insurance, you know, ideally having those come together because the stats point to, you know, eventually something happening to you. And so that's where it's important to have ransomware and cyber liability coverage in case that does happen. Because like I said, it is a, what do you call that? It's a doomsday type event. You're talking about a very high likelihood that you'll be out of business shortly after.
Oh my gosh. Wow. And you know what? I'm so glad. When you first came on, I was thinking we were going to go down a different path. I had no idea we were talking about subscription for individual computers in the way you're describing it right now. One of the things I'm thinking about right now is I have something like a RoboForm or a LastPass or whatever it's called, mm-hmm. One Password Manager. If somebody gets into your computer, you have that. RoboForm, let's say.
Yeah.
They can hack that. And now they got everything.
I mean, think about that, right? So now you have access to your Bank of America accounts, right?
Yeah. Cloud, all your identities. Platform.
Identity theft, all of that. So it's exactly. That's why, number one, you want the best defense against that 24/7. And number two, the chance that something does happen, you need to have a backup liability policy in place. And you're going to see this happen more and more. I mean, it's already happening. So cyber liability insurance is the fastest growing category of commercial insurance today. Mm-hmm. And it's making its way to the small business owners. So we're one of the pioneers of having that, like the first integrated solution for that. And over time, this is going to be so incredibly commonplace. I mean, right now it's Wild West. Insurance companies are more scared. Rates are going up. There's more attacks, right? They don't know what that liability looks like. Mm-hmm. There's more ransoms. And so it's chaos and nerve-wracking and uncertain for insurers. But the overall long-term market opportunity for protecting the long tail, if you will, SMBs and small businesses is massive. And so we believe it's an inevitability that almost every small business owner in the next, call it, 5 years is going to have some level of cyber liability protection.
Wow. Okay, so a lot of the times in this podcast, we have two types of people. Mm-hmm. The people that can see that letting an expert do it, well, maybe, you know, that's the spending good money is not a bad thing. So spend it on an expert. And then we have people that are more bootstrapping it. They're just starting off. They don't have that extra money to spend. So they don't have the extra $25, $50, $100 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
What are some tips that you can give to those people, the bootstrappers that can't use your or it can't afford your platform right now? Right now, for me, I'm saying that I'm going to buy your product because I can't afford not to have your product or your app. But for those people that are just bootstrapping it, spent thousands of dollars on their inventory and just need a few tips, what kind of advice can you give them?
Yeah, well, first I would say that it's maybe not as unaffordable as you think in the sense that you got to start thinking about it. I think you got to start thinking about it more as like insurance. Mm-hmm. And every small business owner is familiar with insurance and all of them have to carry liability insurance. So it's already something they're familiar with. And really all we're saying is you want to make a larger investment there. The technology is part and parcel of that, obviously, to mitigate that liability. But that's a better way to think about it. Because that's, like I said earlier, it's the abstract concept of an attack is the reason why everyone's dragging their feet, right? So, however, that aside, you know, there are obviously small business owners that maybe it's under, you know, 10 employees, or you're an independent contractor, or what we call it, sole proprietorship, right? And you're selling online or whatever the scenario may be. There's a ton of small things you can do, from, you know, from password managers to having, you know, having external physical hard drive storage in case your computer is hacked. We actually publish a bunch of tips and tricks on our blog, which we recommend checking out. So it's transmosis.com, and you'll see the blog link. We post a ton of really useful information there related to just everyday things that you can do. And there are everyday things that you can do. And like I said, you're not going to upgrade to something like this, then, you know, antivirus solution is a very common thing. It's not going to protect you to the extent that you need long term, but it's still nonetheless a relatively low cost option and a good start. And there's
I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay. So, every time I call Mac or Apple, and I call Apple often, okay, so, but I'll ask maybe every 3 to 6 months, do I have to put virus protection on my Mac? Mm-hmm. And they 100% of the time say no.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I mean, I haven't called Apple and asked them about that. I mean, Apple is a more, generally speaking, a more secure platform than Windows-based machines. Everybody's kind of known that. That's mm-hmm. historically more difficult because of a more closed environment and harder to attack. And that's probably one of the reasons that they say that. You know, and or they're going to be rolling out their own security products. I mean, they're already pretty strong security protocols. So I don't think they want to endorse a third party. Again, just give you my personal opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, like I said, there, if you look at some of these tips and tricks, there are, you know, a good you know, higher grade consumer antivirus solution is a good start. You're at least on the right path there, right? And you want to identity theft protection. That's very interesting. You know, the Norton LifeLock guys have done a nice job of, LifeLock in particular, pioneering that category. That's certainly a big threat. And the downtime associated with your identity stolen is definitely something to be thinking about. So I think that's a good next baby step. But if you're, mm-hmm. if you're a real business, I mean, you know, you're a corporation, you're transacting online, you're putting effort in to grow that business, the liability that you're carrying is insane. And that needs to be addressed more sooner than later, because it's not an exaggeration that you could be going out of business a lot sooner than you think. And it's already, times are tight anyway with COVID, and small businesses are under tremendous financial pressure as well. So it's counterintuitive that it's not, you know, not an ideal time to make those investments. But if you're in it for the long haul, it's something you want to really seriously consider.
Very good. Kelsey, do we have any questions?
Yep, we have a few questions.
All right.
Let me see. So for Manny, are there any first signs that you might notice when you're just hacked for the first time?
Well, that's a good question, actually. So, I mean, that's part of the problem, like things like zero-day attacks where they're laying in wait, sitting in your, hiding in files, for example, inside your computer. In fact, that's something that we do. It's something called honeypotting. And it's what these Fortune 5000 companies use because they've got these security teams. We actually provide that to our small business customers, even if you're two people. What that means is we actually lay traps for cyber criminals. So we put out, like, for example, bogus password folders to see if we can get them to come look for a password folder inside your computer. And then we immediately stop them and then identify them and basically reverse attack them. This is what the big guys use. So, in a lot of cases, you don't know this is happening. I mean, that's the biggest problem, is that if you looked at, for example, like your router and the number of potential bogus IPs that are knocking on your door and now knocking on your digital door, if you will, through your Wi-Fi at home. Now, yeah, Cox and these guys are getting better with more secure routers. But if you saw that, you would get a sense of what I'm talking about here. There's dozens a day of these random IPs, who knows where they're from, trying to see if there's an open door into my computer. And so if you look at that, that's when it starts getting, you know, most people don't look at their IP traffic inside their router. So anyway, the answer is, it's, you don't see it all the time until it's too late.
Okay, great. Let's see, the next one, is your service only available to US sellers?
Great question. We sell the product internationally. We start off US-based, but we sell it and provide the service Australia, New Zealand, Canada, all across South America as well. But okay. All of our security analysts are US-based. That's an important thing, because when you start digging into security operations centers and teams, you'll see a lot of this is outsourced to Asia, you know, Philippines, and India. That is not, again, not to judge, but that's not what you want. You want US-based security analysts.
Okay. This is from Michelle. Is it protection for the IP address?
Okay, so I think she's asking there is it protection for the website, essentially, so the IP address of your... she should probably clarify that question, because that could mean a website. It could be for her home computer. But the answer is endpoints, like I said earlier. So we're protecting that endpoint, that desktop, laptop, within your work from home environment or in the office.
Okay. And I think we answered one of these already from Patiha. The basic steps we should keep an eye on if we haven't got a basic or active subscription.
Close the question.
Yeah, we've just answered that one.
Oh, we did. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, and then last one, Fatiha, how is your service different to all the other major services out there?
Okay, well, that's a great question. So, well, first of all, there are very few major services that are doing this. So it's coming. We're a pioneer in this area. Most of these services are for medium to larger companies or classic SMB market, which, like I said, is like a 500-person company. So bringing this enterprise-class product with a 24/7 security team with completely integrated cyber liability insurance, it really just hasn't existed, you know, in an affordable, flexible monthly subscription model. So we're one of the first to offer this to your guys' small business market.
Okay, very good. So Kelsey, let's get to the Wheel of Kelsey.
Okay. All right. So if anyone hasn't entered yet, you've got maybe like a minute left. Put in We Love Chase, hashtag We Love Chase, if you want to be entered into a draw for a year-long subscription with Transmosis. But I'll start. I'll just double-check everything, make sure
okay.
I missed anyone. And okay, I think we're good. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen. Wheel of Kelsey, there it is.
Oh, Nier just came in.
Oh, Nier? Okay, I'll add him.
All right, there we go.
So we got two giveaways, is that correct?
Yes, there's two.
Yeah, okay, so 3, 2, 1. Okay, Michelle.
Michelle gets one. Congratulations, Michelle.
And number two.
Oh.
Manny.
There we go.
So close. Okay, Manny. So Michelle and Manny, congratulations on your prize. All right.
Michelle and Manny, you guys are going to be really buttoned up here soon.
That's perfect. And all you need to do is get your information over to Kelsey, and then he'll contact Chase with all that information.
Yep. So you can email me at k@lunchwithnorm.com. So Michelle and Manny, I'll reach out to you. And yeah, we'll get the information over to Chase.
Okay. So Chase, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to join us over at Clubhouse at 1:30. But we are having a Clubhouse room opened up. We're going to be talking to our guest from last week today, if Chase can join us, I'm not sure. Are you going to be able to join us?
I can't. I didn't have that on my calendar. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe next Monday, if you are able to get on, we're going to be having every guest from this week on next Monday as well.
Okay, cool.
So, but anyways, I just wanted to thank you for coming on and talking about cybersecurity. Learned a lot. I didn't know we were going to go down certain rabbit holes, and I'm glad we did. It clarified a lot of things for me.
Awesome. Enjoyed being on the show. Thanks, Norm, Kelsey. Appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. So look, we're on time, and you can even get to your next call. How's that?
Beautiful. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Feel free to reach out. Anybody has any questions?
All right. Thanks a lot, Chase.
Thank you, guys.
Everybody. So that's the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I learned a lot. And a matter of fact, I don't use Chase's app. I am, right after this show, just like Wilfried, I'm going to be joining. And I've got a bunch of websites that I'm going to get onto, or not websites, a bunch of computers, my team. I'm going to get this going. So, I mean, this is what he was talking about, so important, and the types of lawsuits. I had no idea about that. But anyways, Kels, what do you got?
Okay, so we have our clubhouse today. It is at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. I'll put the comments again in here on Facebook and YouTube. But also, all of this information is on the Facebook group. So please go there, join there, and you'll have access to all the links. We'll also make this a Facebook event in the future, so you can have the links available there too. But also, so go over there. The Facebook group is Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA and E-Commerce Collective. That's where everything is. I highly recommend you go there. If you've missed today, if you're watching, if you're a new user and you don't know what's going on and you missed the whole episode, go over to our YouTube channel. It's Norman Farrar, just as you can see here. This is our username. That's where all of our highlights and full episodes are. You'll find everything. Even if you want to check out our first episode, which I highly recommend to see how far we've come, it's always great to see. I know Norm enjoys that episode.
I love it.
And yeah, so that's basically it for me. Congratulations to the winners.
Yep.
And I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. I think it's a super important topic that not a lot of people are talking about.
Right.
So, yeah.
And then on Wednesday, we're going to have OMG Commerce Chris Brewer back. He was great last time he was on. This time, he's going to be talking about Google Marketplace, the possibilities and the pitfalls with dealing with Google Marketplace, and the opportunity for Amazon sellers. So tune in on Wednesday for that. And tune in every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. And thank you, everybody, for enjoying the show. Thank you for being part of the community. And we'll see you next time. Lunch with Norm.